Give God glory. High five your neighbor. Say it's good to be here on a Wednesday night. Wednesday. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, if you brought them on your iPad or your phone. Touch 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. How many of you know my Uncle Chip? Anybody know him? Usually when I come to Canada, I have to like nag on him a little bit. But this time it's actually, I'm going to do something that he taught me that was actually good. So, I mean, what can you say? One or two things I learned from him in my life. It's a joke. Canadians, come on. Ha! Okay, thank you. So, my whole family, we love sports. We come from sports. Like, everything is centered around sports and hot dogs and chili and, like, you know, sports. And so we have a really good time around sports. And I, even though I was not anointed to be a player of any type of really real sport, I enjoy it quite a lot. And if you remember last time, I think I even talked about running, which I just picked up not too long ago. Jimmy made me start running, and he ran marathons before we got married, and so then he's like, okay, you're going to run. So we talked about that. We talked about running to win last time I was here. And so I've been traveling from church to church. I've been in mommy's groups, you know. Now I'm got this mommy's groups that I go to and all kinds of neat little things. But I'm noticing a trend in the body of Christ. And so of these three and a half things that I saw trending, I thought I would bring them up. But before we do, let's go back to what I learned as a sports fan. And I specifically like American football. Anybody like American football? Go Cowboys. That's all I got to say. Cowboys. Let's drink to that. We drink to the Cowboys right now. The Vikings, we got Viking fans back here. Yeah, I know we got some Viking fans. Anybody else who? I'm not sure Raider Nation is saved in any way, shape, or form. Anybody else? No. Canadian football? No. Cricket, as Chip would say. So here are some things I know about football. I know the options of a quarterback. I know defense, offense, all of it. I've got it all down. But I also know that they really, really spend a lot of time on that thing called the fundamentals. You know what fundamentals are? Women, fundamentals are like the basics. It's going back to the basics, moving your feet, sliding, doing the basic things. But I also know on a week that they have a big game coming up on a Sunday, they do something else besides just working on the fundamentals, besides just going back to the basics. They study their opponent. They watch films. They watch videos on what their opponent has done in prior games. Prior games against other teams, and even games against them. They study their opponent so much that they know when they zig, we need to zag, or vice versa. They change up their strategy based on how the other team is playing. And as Christians, I feel like we've done ourselves a disservice because we know that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We know that he comes to take away our happiness. But sometimes we don't really know his plays. I'll show you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. King James. Lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Let's read it backwards. For if you're ignorant of his devices, Satan might get advantage over you. Okay, now in the Amplified. Talk amongst yourselves as we switch. Bam. Okay, to keep Satan from getting the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his wiles and his intentions. Okay, yeah, he wants to make your life stink. We know it. But how? How does he get in there? here. I'm a Christian. I plead the blood. I say the name. I do all the things I'm supposed to say. I have my tool belt of things that the Lord has given us to use. But why does it seem like he still gets in here? Anybody have that question? Be real honest right now. You're like wondering, like, I don't understand how I opened that door. I didn't see this coming. Right? Because he kind of goes on this wave like, well, here's a newsflash. Satan was an angel of light. He was around whenever the Holy Spirit was speaking to move over the face of the waters. He was around when all of these things were happening. He was around when the Bible was written. He was around. He knows Mark 11, 23 and 24. He knows if you say to the mountain move and you believe it in your heart and don't doubt it, then the mountain's going to move. So what is he going to do? Go against and go anti everything that would make faith work, because he knows how faith works. He knows our plays better than we know his plays sometimes. He knows when we zig, he knows how to zag. So that's how he's crafty. The serpent was, why was he in the garden in the cool of the day? That's when he knew Adam and Eve were in the garden, walking. When did he know that they would be hungry? Oh, well, they're hungry about this time, so I'm going to be on that specific tree right at the right time. What? He knew the play. He's not ignorant of us. So here are some things and some wiles of the enemy. If you ever want to back up on this verse a little bit, he's talking about forgiveness and unforgiveness. But we're not going to camp there today, okay? But that's one of the wiles of the enemy. If he can keep you in unforgiveness or keep you offended, then he's got a big toe in, okay? One of the wiles I've seen lately in the body of Christ is me versus them comparison. Now, women were famous for this. Guys, you are too. You have that ego thing. When a guy walks by and, you know, he's like a little bit more buff than you, you kind of... Exactly. We got truth happening on the back row right here. You kind of suck it in. Women, we do too. Like, oh. Or that he comes with those thoughts, those ideas, those suggestions of, oh, I wish I was a good mommy like her. She's a good mommy. Like, I want to kill my children. She, like, deals with them with grace. I'm just getting truthful right now. You know, like, I would beat him. No, she's like, oh. Or I wish I could sing like her. Or I wish I could play the piano like him. And I wish I could pastor like them. And blah, blah, blah. And the enemy tries to get you to compare yourself to others with almost every task we do. From the time we wake up in the morning, I wish my hair would do right like hers. Like, her hair is, like, perfect. Mine looks like a rat nested in it in the morning. Oh, maybe I should get extensions. Maybe I shouldn't get my eyelashes. Lipo. I wish I could run as fast as Clemma. And he wants us to compare ourselves with one another. Why? Because if we can keep our eyes down here on the comparison level, then what we should be looking at is not really what we're really looking at. Now think about it. Think about the 10 spies. There were 12 spies, right? 12 spies sent out to the promised land to take a look at the promised land. The land, remind you, that was already promised to them. That's why it's called the promised land. Went in a deep revy. Okay. It was already promised for them, but 10 out of 12. Now, I don't know how they do math in Canada, but in America, 10 out of 12 is over a majority. A majority of them looked over into the promised land and said, oh my God, they're huge. They're big. They're massive. They are so big. We are but, and it's in, like, this is really what they said, we are but grasshoppers in their sight. This is a land that was promised by the Almighty God to these people. and they saw them as giants and them, their own selves as grasshoppers. Where two of the 10, that's a minority, like, no, we got this. We are well able to take the land. How did they see themselves? They saw themselves as the giants and them as the grasshoppers. You know what the Jews say about this? It wasn't the giants that kept them out of the promised land. It was the grasshopper mentality. The grasshopper mentality. How you compare yourself to others may keep you out of your promised land. The land of blessing. The land of promise. The land of your faith working. Mark 11:23, Mark 11:24. Well, I'm a tither. I don't understand what the holdup is. One of the wiles, one of the plays of the devil is, how much are you comparing yourself to somebody else? How much are you comparing your life to a Pinterest board somewhere, somehow? I'm preaching better than your amen, and hopefully you're thinking right now. Like, because if he can keep us on the comparison level way, way, way down here, we're too busy to think about who we are in Christ Jesus. That by God, I've been bought with a price. By God, I'm seated together with him in heavenly places. I could take care of this. And maybe I don't look like what I want to look like or act like what I want to act like. Maybe my career is not exactly what I want it to be and in the sweet by and by. But I can tell you, I am blessed wherever the sole of my foot treads. I am walking in the blessing. I am talking in the blessing. Everywhere I go, the anointing goes. The power goes. But if he can keep compare, then you're not thinking about your perspective on everything else. It's high above all this other stuff. So if he can't get you with this person versus me comparison, then he does this number. Can I borrow you for a second? Do you mind? I won't hurt. It doesn't hurt. If you'll stand right there. And I got this from Stephen Furtick, and when I saw it, I was like, oh my word, this goes right along. So if he can't get you with comparing to another person, he'll get you with, oh, that's where I should be. If I just wouldn't have had that time, you know, I could have read my Bible an extra 45 minutes, but if I didn't let life distract me, I should be there. I should be so much further than where I am right now. I should have my own church. I should have my own ministry. I should have my own business. I should be out of debt. My Lord, I've known the laws of prosperity for how long, and I'm still sitting in right here, right where I was. Paycheck to paycheck. I should be there. Why am I not there? And he wants you to focus on you versus you comparison. And this gap between where you are and where you should be. And I've read 9 million leadership books, and why am I not a better leader? And here I am, and this is where I am, and that's where I should be. Why? For the same reason. He doesn't want you to think about where you really are, the power that you really carry, the anointing that lives and breathes on the inside of you. And your ministry may not be what it looks like or what you want it to look like, but you have a ministry to your children right now that need you. My mother, people would call her and say, you know, like, hey, are you, you know, teaching or preaching or holding any meetings right now? And she's like, no, I have 2 little kids. And the Lord's called me to stay at home with them right now. My mom, she's anointed. She's like really honestly one of the best Bible teachers I've ever, and I'm not just saying it, like she dives in there. She's totally anointed to do it. And she's like, no, I got these 2 little kids. And they would say, well, why don't you maybe come and preach to us or something? She said, no, you don't want me. You want my mom. She's way anointed. You don't want me. You want my mom. I got these two little kids, and she was doing, you know, Hooked on Phonics with us every morning, and you know, all of that. And then all of a sudden, she started to get in this place where she was like, God, like, I feel like I'm going to blow up. And I feel like I should be there. I feel like I should, my ministry should be taken off, and this is where I am. And the Lord, he said, it's okay for your children to be, to see you intercede. It's okay for your children to see you in your study time with the Lord. So she would just like, well, okay, because I can't get away from them anyway. So she would just get down in the middle of the living room floor and, you know, yield to the spirit of prayer. And she's like, Cody would like crawl over me, pull her hair, Mommy, Mommy. And this was the season that she was in. And she's like, how far have I fallen? Because she saw that. And she was here. And not just my mom, it happened to me. When Judea was born, now granted, I was just had her 3 days prior, and we don't have anything that happens to our hormones after we have kids, so we just can pretend like that doesn't happen. But I sat in the middle of her bedroom, and I just bawled my eyes out, and I said, I'll never preach again. I don't know. My ministry's over. Oh, my life is over. So part of it could be seasons. Part of it could just be the devil lying to you, the saying that you're stuck here and you'll never be where you should be. But what he wants you to keep your eyes off of is, could you go all the way over to that wall over there? You're so busy looking here where you should be, where you should be, where you should be, that he doesn't want you to realize how far you've come. That the gap between where you are and where you were is so much greater than the gap between where you want to be and where you're standing right now. But if you can keep your eyes here, then he can. It's his play. It's his strategy. It's his wile to keep your eyes off of, my God, I was homeless in a Honda. I really was. I was homeless in a Honda. I couldn't have a long-term relationship to save my life because I sabotaged every single one of them. Oh, my God, how far have I come that I actually have a husband that I don't want to cheat on? I'm just telling the truth. That I have a healthy relationship, that I have two beautiful children. That maybe is where I could have been, but bless God, this is where I'm called to be for such a time as this, and I could still be there. I could still be there. Had I made the same choices over and over and the cycle continued, I could still be there. But no, I'm here, and I'm happy with being here. Godliness with contentment is what? Great gain, the Bible says. I'm going to have great gain if I'm content here. Because when you get here, guess what? He'll try the same play, and he doesn't want you to be content here either. He wants you to be always looking, I could have been further. I could have been further along. So me versus me comparison. Thank you, sweetheart. Give her a hand. She was a beautiful me. So number one, if you can't keep your eyes looking at comparing yourself to another person, he wants you to compare yourself to yourself. And he wants to distort vision. Well, before I go to distorted vision, think about David and Goliath, okay, for one moment. The whole army of Israel sat in a valley and listened to this joker get up on a hill twice a day and be like, fee, fi, fo, fum. I've come to take you out. I'm blah, 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 blah. Somebody come fight me. And the whole army of Israel were shivering. And here comes David. I'm going to deliver some sandwiches. And I don't know why, but probably because I have a 3-year-old. I just think of VeggieTales when I do this. And here comes Junior with the sandwiches. What's going on, guys? Who's that? Now, David at that moment could have compared himself to himself. What do I know? I should be taller. If I was taller, I could take this guy out. If I wasn't redheaded, they do so many redhead jokes. If I wasn't redheaded, I could probably take this guy out. And you know the enemy was lying to him the whole time. You're not strong enough. You're not big enough. You're not even old enough to be in the army. Like, who are you, the sandwich delivery guy? No, but he stood there and he's like, is this dude circumcised? I'm serious. No, you don't have a covenant. It didn't matter at that moment how big he was, smart he was, strong he was. He thought back, and this is what the devil doesn't want us to do. I've defeated a lion, and that bear was a pansy. I got him too. Who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine? At that moment, he was not comparing himself to any of the other people in his family. And he wasn't comparing himself to himself. Why? Because he was reminded, where were his eyes? His eyes were that he has a covenant. His eyes were, you know what? I may look scrawny, but I've got a heck of a lot of angels backing me. As Chip says, if he would have thrown that thing and it would have been off course, it would have been the biggest curveball in the history of time. Why? Because it's a supernatural thing when you get yourself, when you get your eyes off of yourself and on who God called you to be. You may be the biggest klutz. You may trip on a rock, but God will make that thing hit where it needs to hit because you know who you are. And your eyes are not on yourself at this moment. I know a person in... We're not live streaming. Okay. I know a person, and they really, really, really wanted to have supernatural childbirth. It's a book that you don't, you know, that you go through supernatural, women know. Guys, it's basically just pain. Okay, so anyway, just kidding. They really, really, really wanted to go through supernatural childbirth. So we get to the situation, they're in a lot of pain, and they're still refusing the epidural. Like, they're in a lot of pain. There's nothing supernatural about it. So finally, she caves, and she says, okay, just give it to me. And after she was all over, she felt like she was terribly crushed. And my mother went to this person and said, okay, I just have one question. What was your motive for wanting a supernatural childbirth? And after she slapped her, she said, just kidding. She said, I wanted my parents to be proud of me. It didn't have anything to do with her this direction. It was this direction. Where were her eyes? Her eyes were a comparison to my mother had one. So does that make sense? Y'all see it? The question is, what's your motive today? Did David beat Goliath because he wanted to wear the king's armor and get that hot chick? No, not really. He was tired of this loser threatening the armies of God. But what is all of this? What if this motive thing and the comparison and the me versus me and the me versus them, it's all strategies of the enemy to make us stop feeling the love of God? Another thing the enemy does is distorted vision. Distortion is, in the dictionary, distortion is to alter from the original shape. The more something is distorted, the less recognizable it is. We see distorted vision in a person standing in front of a mirror and sopping wet, they're 90 pounds, but they see an obese person in that. They don't eat anymore, and they make themselves throw up. Anorexia, bulimia, that is distorted vision. That is a wild and a strategy of the devil. He knows that, okay, Mark 11, 23, 24, you have to see the mountain in order to speak to the mountain and tell the mountain to get out of here. But if you can't see the mountain, he has no, there's no pressure that you would make the mountain move because you can't see it. So he wants to distort your vision. I've seen, how many of you have ever been in an argument with your husband or wife? A bunch of liars in here. No, I'm just kidding. No, you've ever, a lively discussion. And in this lively discussion, you're like, but you said this. And he's like, I never said that. Yeah? Anybody? Yes, thank you. Thank you for the truth tellers. It's coming out. Pastor, it's coming. We're pulling, it's like pulling teeth. Okay, so, or you did this and he said, I didn't do that. But you saw that sometime between the time it left his lips and hit your ears, something happened to it. I was reminded of this, of Brother Hagin, and he had fallen in the book, I Believe in Visions, which if you haven't read it, I encourage you to. He had fallen and he chipped his elbow. And they wanted him to stay overnight in the hospital for observation. And so he stayed overnight and he was in there and he's like, I just chipped my elbow, like, not a big deal. And in the middle of the night, he heard footsteps walking down the hall. And then the Savior walks in his room and proceeds to, over the course of the beginning to end, talks to him for an hour and 45 minutes, face to face with Jesus. In a similar time, John Osteen saw Jesus face to face. And all of a sudden, he could no longer, he saw Jesus' lips moving, but he couldn't hear him anymore. And there was this little imp, this little devil, that was like, making all this noise, making all this racket. Finally, John Osteen turns to him and goes, shut up and get out of here in Jesus' name. And he ran. Finally, Jesus said, thank you. I've been waiting for you to do that. I couldn't. And he goes, what do you mean you couldn't? He's like, no, I couldn't. All authority has been given unto you. I couldn't get that little low-level devil out from trying to distract and hinder from what I was trying to say, but you could. Somebody say, I can. So no wonder the enemy tries to change situations. As Mimi says, it's low-level devils that sit on your shoulder or the other person's shoulder and can even change words, phrases, gestures to make us think that there's something that they're really not. He wants to distort the vision. I'm also, another thing he does is he wants to rack focus. So I'm in television. I need two volunteers. You two, come here. If you'll stand here, Kirsten, and Colton, you'll stand like right about there, but a little bit behind her. Okay, picture this. It's a major motion picture, okay? I'm with a camera. If I am focused on Kiki, sorry. If I'm focused on Kirsten, where, how do you see Coco right now? I'm going with all the kids' names. How do you see Colton right now? He's blurry, right? He's out of focus, okay? Now, there is a term in television and in photography that we call rack, R-A-C-K, rack focusing. So basically, someone has their hand on the focus wheel of the camera, and very quickly, and in a smooth thing, it goes froop, just like this, and immediately in the scene, the focus goes from Kirsten right to Coco. Got it? You'll forever be Coco. Okay. So you've seen it in a really dramatic scene, like picture this, she's like saying something, blah, 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 and you want to react, his reaction very quickly, the rack focus to see. You've seen it, they do it, it's very dramatic, it's called rack focusing. But I see the enemy do it all the time. Here's what, this is our call. This is what we're supposed to be doing. This is our family. This is our calling. This is our anointing. This is what we're supposed to be focusing on, our job. And the enemy racks focus. Froop. And all of a sudden, there's somebody that needs so much of your time. And all of a sudden, there's somebody who you're just trying to help, or it's not always a person. It's something else that you feel like you should be doing, and it's just blah, 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 blah. And he wants to get your eyes off the main thing and steal your time and your attention onto something else. Anybody ever had that in your life? Raise your hand. You don't have to point to anybody. So here's the thing with that. One of his wiles, one of his tactics, because it's a proven fact that you walk towards what you are looking at. So where we're supposed to be running the race, we're supposed to be here, we're supposed to, this might not be exactly what I want to be doing, but I feel so much more needed over here. My affirmation scratch is itched over here. My need to be loved and accepted is over here, or whatever that may be. So we start walking towards what we're looking at, all the while neglecting what the main thing should be. Now, Geometry 101, have you been there in a while? Geometry 101 is there, every line has no end. So think about this. If I'm walking and I keep walking and I keep walking, eventually what just starts as a minor correction that we could just very minorly correct where we should be looking at here, what we should be doing. If we keep going this direction, if I keep heading this direction, then I'm so far off what I should be looking at, what I should be doing. Do you see that? Thank you, too. Give them a hand. They're so cute. And so then you look at your life and you're like, how am I so far off the path? This is not at all the way I thought it was going to go. It's a wile. It's a strategy of the devil. Now, why am I going through these? Just to make everybody like feel depressed at the end of the sermon? No. Because here's one thing. They do not give a diagnosis by just knowing, looking at you and going, yeah, that's what it is. No, they look at the symptoms. If we can identify the strategies of the enemy when they first start to creep in, we can stop them in his tracks. Be like, no, that's me comparing myself to her. I'm not going to do it. I refuse to do it. Devil, shut up. Right? Or if we can do, oh no, that's comparing myself to where I should be. I'm not going to do it. I'm standing right here. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers. I'm seated here. I refuse to do that. Or if I see myself having diverted focus, stopping in a tracks and saying, nope, I'm going back. What's the main thing? Father, even if it hurts, even if it's uncomfortable, even if I have to cut off something that a relationship or an attention stealer or whatever it is, Facebook, whatever it is, I do that right now in Jesus' name. Why? I'm identifying the strategies up close. In football, a lot of times, the defense can tell what the offense is going to do just by the lineup. Just by, before the ball moves, before the play starts, just by how they're lined up. They usually know if it's going to be a throw or a pass or something's going to happen. Now, they can tweak it along the way to try to be sneaky, but if you can identify the play before the play even starts, does that make sense to anybody? Then you're more likely to be able to respond correctly to what it is. What does it all boil down to? It all boils down to the enemy wants to come. He wants to steal. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy. But the Father wants to give you life and give it to you till the full, until it overflows. And if the enemy can keep your eyes low, then we have to ask the question, am I really as effective in this place as I want to be? Where did this sermon come from? This sermon came from my own life. If I wasn't comparing to myself to myself, I was comparing myself to somebody else. I wanted to feel needed, so I would run and become a rescue ranger, if you will, from one bad situation to another, because they need me, they need me, they need me. All the while the Father's like, just stop. Let me be the one to show you your value. Let me be the one to show you your worth. Let me be the one to lead you and guide you into who will listen and need the anointing that is on the inside of you. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. No, sorry. Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. It's a familiar verse of scripture, but Isaiah 40, verse 31 in the King James. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they won't faint. The word wait in the Hebrew means to bind together by twisting. And to look, say look, patiently. If we can get our eyes off of everything that the enemy wants us to look at. And to look at him. This is what happens. He will renew your strength. Strength in the Hebrew is vigor, fruit, might, power, substance, wealth, and ability. When you look at him, your ability is strengthened. Your wealth is increased. Your substance is increased. Your power is increased. Your might, your fruit, your vigor. They shall mount up. What happens when I'm looking at him? The gap between where I am and where I should be closes. Because I mount up, I get stronger. Why does the devil want to keep your eyes low? Because he knows this scripture. Because if you're looking at the main thing, then you will be the giant that he doesn't want you to be. The gap will be closed. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. You will run at the right thing and not grow weary. You will walk and you won't faint. He doesn't want you to do this. But here's the thing. Stand to your feet if you would. There's a scripture in the Word that says, repeat after me, thanks. I'll say it like you mean it. Thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph. In Christ Jesus. The Message translation says, he leads me from place to place in a perpetual victory parade. He always causes you to triumph. You already win. You are seated together with Christ in heavenly places, far above, far above. Somebody say far above. Far above. Far above the low-level devils of insecurity. Far above the low-level devils of fear. We sang tonight, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Do you believe it? Close your eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus. Come on, just pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 second. We studied the enemy's plays tonight. And right now, between you and the Father, you know what he has tried to play on you. You know what tactics he has tried to play on you. And you already have victory. Mark Hankin said, you're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. So I want you right now to speak your peace over your mind, over the what he's tried to do. No, let's do this. I'm supposed to lay hands on you. Okay, so if you have seen yourself and the enemy trying to play these same tricks on you and these four examples, whether comparison to one another, comparison to yourself, distracted focus, or distorted focus, I want you to come up here. I'm not lay hands heavy. Like, I don't do that just to do it. But I feel like I'm supposed to hook my faith up with you and just give you a little boop shot. Boom. So if that's you, come up here. Come on, come on, come on, come on, quickly. We know the enemy's plays. We know his plays. We know his plays. But we will not be overcome. We will not be defeated. We won't quit. We won't worry or have anxiety of anything. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. He maketh us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. The still waters. Oh, Father God, brevara bravosta mavestele variete. Subravanya lavavrada. Come on, just pray in the Holy Ghost. Allow the Spirit of truth to reveal, disclose, transmit the mind of God to your spirit right now in Jesus' name. Kevra bravo bravasaria mama da braboroboste. Ahav, right now in the name of Jesus, I call healing to minds, wills, and emotions. Emotional healing now in Jesus' name. Arebev rasamba vroba kreboframa verenamavishte barabada bivema. Fear be gone. Fear be gone in Jesus' name. Fear of not measuring up. Fear of not being good enough. Vraba varastubre virishtama. Fear of what people think about you. Fear about the manesto brevreta mamanaste. Arabov roba vrena mavara. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Aramanye, manamanye. We are not a slave to the enemy's tactics. We are not a slave to what he is trying to do. We are victorious. We are victorious. Thanks be unto God. Make it personal. I am victorious. I am victorious over these lies. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. 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 Laughing a lot more will help you so much. Even if you have to fake it, even if you have to ha ha ha, ha ha ha, ha ha ha, that's it, keep going, ha ha ha, oh, brevedesta, your heart is happy, your heart is fixed, it is established in Jesus' name, rofre bavanana maveste, kure bivara mavre, debavara baravosto, braboravosto, lebra manana mavra, baravresto breveste, sobravana mavra, babondia, bavasta, kura bavra, no, but Venista. Woo! There it is. Here, Vasta, Bobram, and I'm an Evristi. Kuravan, the Mavria, Brovras, the Brevadaste. Subrahama. Satan, in the name of Jesus, every lie, every deception, every low-level hindrance that has tried to stop the flow from this mama in this season, in the name above all names, I thank you, Father, that much like my mama, on the floor. I believe right now you're going to get more songs than you've ever gotten before. And they're going to come freely and easily. And you may have a little guy crawling over you when you get them. But they're going to be songs of deliverance. Songs of deliverance for people. And this is the season of the receiving. Because they're songs that are going to be applicable to people in their everyday lives. And they're coming now to you. Easy. Very easily. Very, very, very easily. Very. I'm telling you. Like, really easily. And you're just going to open your mouth and be like, where's my phone? I got to record that. I got to get it. And before long, you'll have everything you need. Everything you need. And the anointing will destroy the yoke. And all he's trying to do is keep your eyes low on what you're not getting so that he can keep you from getting what you're getting. In Jesus' name, thank you. We glorify, we magnify your holy name.